for me and pray for our conference that everything will come together as God wants. Verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you tonight, we ask for wisdom and direction through the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that everything that I say will be led by you and blessed by you, Lord, to our ears and to our hearts. Father, help us to learn more, to grow more in concerning supporting missionaries and how important it is to support them in a biblical way, as we are learning in the New Testament today. Father, I pray for those that cannot be here, that need to be here and hear these messages. Father, that you would also help them to be online or to make up and listen to the messages and get in one mind and one heart and unity through this conference. So work in everyone's heart, Lord, that cannot even be here tonight. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we know that we would equate sending a monthly check, that would be, you know, sufficient to support missionaries. And obviously, that is an important part. And we have learned how important prayer is. Obviously, that is another very important part for missions. And thankfully, we can grow in that and learn more about prayer support. But there are other areas of support that we need to address to ensure proper care given to our missionaries. And we're going to begin with this very familiar one. That's where we started. And it's kind of repetitive a little bit, but let me just go over it. Obviously, there is financial support. Now, why is it so important to talk about financial support? It is because the god of this world is materialism. The idol, the Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, what's it say? Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So we do know that Jesus talked about Matthew 6. Remember, he talked about those who are like the Gentiles or the lost, and they only care about the things of this life. And then Jesus said, your Father knows that you have those needs, and he's going to take care of you more than the flowers of the field and the sparrows, and God's going to supply all your needs. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so there's a constant battle. In that same chapter, he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. So mammon is that materialism. In fact, now, these may be old statistics, but they also help us kind of understand the perspective. For example, Christians make up 33% of the world's population, but receive 53% of the world's annual income and spend 98% of it on themselves. So how much gets to missions. North American and European Christians spend $12.5 trillion on themselves and their families each year. But I think later it talks about $213 billion is given to the cause of Christ out of that $12.3 trillion. Now, $213 billion sounds like a lot of money. Right? But think about how much more could be done. Now, a lot of that, the struggle with giving is that a lot of it is spent on, you know, what we can do and what it benefits us, like locally. And it's very hard to send your money and be generous to foreign lands where you don't have your eyes on it. You're not there. And that's the struggle. I think we need to understand that there are needs around this world where the gospel is not really being preached like it is here. And a lot of times we miss out on that blessing. And I think, you know, God has to help us to be very generous, not only that, but also have wisdom and get to know missionaries and churches and the work of God around the world, that we can be a part of that. So a lot of the income that we Christians take in is spent on home-based ministries, probably the majority. Whereas a little bit is spent on cross-cultural efforts, and only 0.5% is spent on reaching the unreached, meaning out of all that money, a little bit of money, less than 1% is actually going to areas where the gospel is not being preached. Now that should burden us. You know, we're coming up on February 14th, and we say I love you on Valentine's Day. You know, it's been stated that we spend $700 million to say I love you. That's a lot of money in America. So, you know, there's things that we do. And I'm not saying don't do that, amen, man. Just don't spend millions, okay? Unless you had a couple hundred million to spend. But we're bombarded on a daily basis with you need this. You need to buy this. This is better. This is bigger. If you don't have this, you're nothing. You're not at a status anymore. And that's being bombarded every day. So we're in the battle of, you know, choosing, are we going to give to God's work? Are we going to support the Lord's work, support missionaries? Or are we going to get caught up in the God of this world? We have to be very careful. God has always used churches to support missions. That's what Paul's talking about here. Brethren, he's saying, not because I desire a gift. I mean, Paul, yes, he needed support. But he says that when you give to missions, that support is fruit to your account. Meaning, you're investing in souls. Amen? Now, we know we can't take everything with us to heaven. In fact, the older I get and the things, you know, we think, I know my dad had a lot of stuff, but I was living on the mission field. I had to go home, and all I could do for the time allotted, I didn't even have time to even value everything and sell it properly. I just went home and got two big dumpsters and just trashed everything because I had to sell the house and take him to Chile. There was nothing we could do. And there's stuff I know in my memory. I thought, man, I wish I had all that stuff, you know. But it's stuff. And my dad didn't care. You know, he was just living the life, you know. He wasn't worried about the stuff that got thrown out. Now, the sad thing is, when he lived in it, he was concerned about the stuff. Because, I mean, he piled it up everywhere. That's how bad it was. Thankfully, my sister cleaned it all out before I even got there. She had it straightened up. That would have been a mess. Probably take a bulldozer through everything. But what I'm getting at is, you know, we think we have all this stuff that's of value. When you die, your kids aren't even going to want it, your grandkids. They're going to think this stuff is outdated. Let me just get rid of it. You see what I'm saying? So we live for all this, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. And really has no value. But brethren, when we invest in missions, you're investing in eternal souls. When you're doing the Lord's work in church, when you give tithes and offerings, it's because the gospel's being preached and souls are being won and the church is being built. The Lord's work is going on. Paul recognized that sacrifice. And he treats it as a sacrifice. Look at verse 18. This is how God views it. He says, it's an odor of a sweet smell. It's a sacrifice acceptable. It's well-pleasing to God. Now, remember the context. This is a church supporting a missionary. And they're sending that love offering. And God says, it's well-pleasing. It's a sacrifice that's acceptable. It's a sweet smell, odor of a sweet smell, like that incense burning every day in the tabernacle in the temple. Amen. And so God is well-pleased. And Paul encourages them. And brethren, we need to be encouraged tonight. And I hope as a church we could understand how God operates. Sometimes I realize we have to work according to budgets. And I'm not against that. We try to really stay, you know, be careful and make sure we have money in the bank and cover all the bills and take care of our missionaries. But also God is challenging us in this area of missions. And I hope we can take the challenge that when we do God's work and we take care of God's work, especially when it comes to missions and giving missionary support, that God's going to take care of us. And he may do it in proportion to our faith and our sacrifice. Because look at verse 19. But my God. All right. Paul says you met my need. But God will meet your needs. Paul said you met one need. But God will supply all your need. You met my need. But God's going to supply all your need. And he said you gave it out of poverty. Remember? Philippian, Macedonian church. You gave out of poverty, but God will supply out of his riches. Amen. So brethren, in context, look at the blessing. Look at the promise. Look at the fruit. Look at what we receive if we truly battle against, fight against the God of this world of materialism, the God of covetousness, the idolatry, and keep fighting against it and giving to God. We will be blessed. But not only is there financial support, these are some of the overlooked ones. Fellowship support. How important it is for missionaries to have the right fellowship. Look at chapter 1. Paul was so thankful for this church. They made a mark on him. He says in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Amen. Paul's remembering the brethren there. He says, always in every prayer of mine for you all making requests with joy. I'm sorry, I can't read that anymore. It's for y'all. That's why I couldn't pronounce it right. For you all. It's y'all. Amen. God, for you all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel. From the first day until now. Brethren, he was thankful for fellowship. He was thankful, and we're going to kind of get in, kind of using Philippians as a basis, this book, of what they did. But they gave support. Look at, we see it's fellowship of the gospel. Isn't that the best kind of fellowship? Now, I know, and I'm not saying it's wrong, we look at fellowship today as a potluck dinner, and I like that. A church picnic, maybe a softball game or a volleyball game or some entertainment, you know, of the church. And we say that's fellowship. Let's have a church fellowship. What do we say on the calendar? Church fellowship, that's eating. But the New Testament is saying fellowship is taking the gospel together. It's going, it's working together and laboring together for the gospel's sake. And we ought not to forget that kind of fellowship. This is biblical fellowship, the fellowship in the gospel. And how did it work out? We kind of understood. Remember, we read Acts chapter 20, verse 4. Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius of Derbe, and of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus. So you had that in the morning. But look specifically here, the example of this church. Look at chapter 2, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Let me make sure I'm reading. Let's read to verse 22. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Brethren, what did Timothy mean to Paul when it comes to fellowship? What did Paul mean to Timothy when it came to fellowship? And we have to understand this is the kind of relationship we ought to have with missionaries. We got to get involved in biblical fellowship the best we can. Look at another example. Right in the same chapter, we have Epaphroditus. Remember how he was sent from the church to work with Paul, the Philippian church. Verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger. And he that ministered to my wants again. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, that I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Do you see how important it is to have that fellowship? And, you know, I think of missionaries on the mission field. Obviously, I knew how important it was for my family to have fellowship. We had another missionary family out of our church. They ended up leaving the ministry in the church. But for years, they labored alongside of us. Our kids grew up together. And, you know, those things were important to us, that fellowship. But then I had other churches and other pastors. You know, we have friends all around the world. Some of them are nationals. And it's because we believed in fellowship. Of course, our other missionaries, when we were in Africa, we had Brother Hammett. Of course, you had to drive 6 hours one way to visit someone, 7 hours over here and 8 hours down here. And that's how it was going to visit someone in Africa. You don't just say, hey, 10 minutes down West Lake Houston. We're not even willing to do that sometimes here. Oh, me. So, anyway, in fellowship, do you see nothing has changed? And brethren, that was good that Brother Josh went over to be with the Williams and provide fellowship. That's good that they have churches or families from their home church going to visit them and providing fellowship of the gospel. What, he wasn't there just to go sightseeing, though that is a benefit, amen. And try out all the food, though that is a benefit, amen. Primarily, they were there to reach people with the gospel, to go and do visitation, to go to these, you know, go over to Myanmar. I mean, that, you realize people can't go there. You did something that many can't do. And it was only for a short window of time. That's an amazing thing. That's always going to be in the memory of these missionaries and in their hearts. I realize when missionaries come here, you're all stressed out, you're tired and had a long day, and we need to get focused. So somehow, some way, you need to spend a little time with the missionaries to get to know them and provide a little bit of fellowship for them and get some relationship. Especially today, these missionaries come through here, you can begin to follow them on Facebook. You know, use Facebook for a good thing, not just, you know, wasting time all day scrolling through your feed, looking at pictures and memes. Use Facebook to follow missionaries, and as you read about them, pray for their needs and find out what God's doing. See, Gary, a smartphone isn't so bad after all, brother. You can follow the missionaries, amen. I'm not saying selling it to you, but there are a few good things you can do with other than a flip phone, amen. Almost. Almost. Still not yet, amen. But think about how in touch we are today. Like, things are going on, and you just instantaneously can learn of that and pray and really be up to date. And I encourage you, I know you may think, well, I'm not going to say anything here. No, I encourage you to make a comment on the missionaries page and say, I'm praying for you, or, hey, that's great, and boy, praise the Lord. Say something that they know you visited them, that you took notice of what they're doing and what's going on in their ministry. That is part of this fellowship I'm talking about, that they're going to get encouragement from you doing that, taking that extra step. and getting to know them more and their ministries. And we have no excuse today. We read the letters, and it's a good thing to read the letters. But this is January 2024, writing about things that probably happened maybe in the month of January, beginning, or maybe last year. Some good pictures, by the way, too. But there's some Christmas outreach, right? So that's already over. They're just reading a report of things that are already done. But there's a way that you can keep up with a missionary where you're like, hey, tomorrow they're driving here. Tomorrow they're preaching here. Tomorrow they're doing this or that. And I can be involved in that. Obviously, fellowship support. And then another common one is prayer support. Amen. Missions is more than sending a monthly check. And obviously, brethren, we're learning that we can't just say, God bless the missionaries here and around the world. All right, we prayed for the missionaries. That's not prayer for the missionaries. It's somewhat of what we try to do on Wednesday nights when it comes up for the missionaries, that we try to really get some requests that they're going through, that we know about. We try to go a little further so that we can pray specifically, intercede for them in important events, important needs, like the clouds. You still need to be praying for the clouds and their building situation. So we always have to stay in touch with them. Now, think about Paul. You know, he's writing letters, but boy, how long did it take for the letter to get there? Go to Ephesians 6. We know the text. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And as for me, amen. Paul says, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's a prayer request, amen. That's something we can apply every time we pray for a missionary, that they can speak boldly for Christ, that they know what to say at that very moment when they're teaching or preaching. We know that the Holy Spirit was in control, and maybe because of the lack of communication, because of sending letters and the distances and time, that the Spirit of God made up the difference and laid it upon people's hearts to be praying for Paul at specific needs, specific times. It's the same Holy Spirit that can trouble your soul today and say, pray for these missionaries. Pray for their needs. Pray at this hour. You know, we have to be filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Amen. Now, Paul was a man who constantly wrote churches, and just about in all of his letters, he said, pray for me. Don't forget to pray. Look at just a few of them. 2 Thessalonians. It's short, but still, what's Paul say? Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered, amen, from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. How many times was Paul going through troubles because of wicked men, unreasonable men trying to hinder him and be used of the devil to stop the preaching of the gospel. Romans. He said to the Romans over there, 15:30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that what? Ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Amen. There's a lot of requests in there. But he's saying, strive together. Brethren, prayer is work. Prayer is labor. Prayer isn't easy, all right? You know that. It's easy not to pray. Because prayer is work. It's like, well, you know, I don't have time right now. Because you know it's work. But you have to really be faithful at it if you're going to make a difference for God. He even said to the Philippians, we didn't look at that, go back there, 1:19. He's telling them, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. And what he's talking about there is getting released from prison. That's the salvation, being rescued out of that. He said, I know that God's going to do something through your prayer. God's going to release me. Amen? So, brethren, this is the importance of prayer support. The Bible talks about a kind of prayer warrior. It's called In the Gap Prayer Warriors. Ezekiel 22:30. This is where you bridge the gap, where you intercede between a lost nation and a missionary, and making that gap, bridging that gap, standing in the gap. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But what did God say? But I found none. That's sad. We need church members to be in the gap prayer warriors, intercessors for God. One who forms a gap, stands in the gap between God and the land. Remember Abraham? We're not going to read the whole chapter, but let me just, he's like, God, peradventure to be 50 righteous within the city. Yes, I will not destroy it for 50. Peradventure, there'll be 50 lack five, 45. Yes, I will not destroy it. It'll be 40. And then he goes down to 40. Then he goes down to 30. Then he goes down to 20. And then he goes to 10, which would have been Lot, his wife, and his children and their spouses. 10. He was specific. And remember, they couldn't even get the 10 out. He only got his wife out. And then she looked back. And his daughters, right? And she looked back. So you see how Abraham was praying. He was standing in the gap between God and Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot. And God was listening to him. And he was responding. How about Moses? Remember when he interceded to God not to destroy the people? God said, okay, no, Moses, I'm going to wipe these people out and I'm going to start your new nation. Oh, God, think about that. Think about what everyone's going to think. The Egyptians, everyone, They know what you did. God, don't do that. He said, no, Lord, blot me out. Take my life. Save them. God was merciful. How about Nehemiah? Remember, he heard the news and he started praying and he was broken. How about Jesus in John 17? How about Paul? Go to Romans 9. Paul almost had that same prayer as Moses. He had that same heart. 9:1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Chapter 10, he says it very clearly. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Amen. Was he not a prayer warrior, an in-the-gap prayer warrior for the nation of Israel? Now, brethren, we do have model prayers in the Bible. Go to Colossians. We have several passages that you can walk through and pray for missionaries. This is one of them, beginning in verse 9. Now, Paul is actually praying for them, but Paul is telling them how to pray. Amen? It'd be like a model prayer. For this cause also, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Amen. What does that mean? He was interceding. He didn't cease. He continually prayed for them. That's what we ought to do for missionaries. And the desire that you, what? Might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Let me just walk through this quickly. That ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Brethren, obviously, we've learned that missionaries often have to choose between what? They have so many people knocking at their door, so many people crying for help, and they need God's will. They need to have wisdom. Often, it's overwhelming array of ministry opportunities. Who do you say no to? Who do you say yes to? Where do you go? First, second, third. That's why we need to pray. You might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Amen. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Brethren, obviously, wisdom is the ability to see things from God's perspective. God, give me your mind on this. Understanding is the ability to make godly wisdom work out in the affairs of life. God, fill them with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. Brethren, this is the daily walk. You know, it's not easy to live in a foreign field. You ever take a trip overseas and you have a language barrier and you don't understand what's going on, trying to drive down the wrong side of the road and people are laughing at you? Make that every day of your life. Your skin color is different. You stand out. People always watching you, and Well, what do they need? Well, they need to walk worthy of the Lord, even in those difficult situations. And that people could see, you know what? There's something different about these people. Amen. Let me find out what it is. So when you can't communicate with your words, you can communicate with your life. That's what it's about. We need to pray that way. How many missionaries are still trying to learn the language? Well, we need to pray for them, even though they can't speak the language, that they would walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, and that people would be drawn to Christ through their life. Being fruitful unto every good work. How many man hours? That was a lot of the frustrations I've had in the ministry, is all the hours. And sometimes I realize I should have put my time and effort over here and in this person, not in this. You're like, man, can't recover that anymore. So, brethren, the fruit comes when they can be led of the Lord, doing the Lord's will in His wisdom, spiritual understanding, and the timing of the Lord to bring out the best fruit possible. And fruit that remains. He also says, increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen. I think of being on a mission field, you get so busy serving the Lord that you don't have spiritual intake yourself. Always on the run. You could be disconnected with your home church. The devil does that. Loneliness can set in. You can have failure in your task. You could be disconnected and discontented. Boy, there's a lot. You know, I could write a book on what not to do as a missionary just by all the missionaries I met on the mission field. And some of the dangers and some of the destruction they left behind. That's very real. You know, you're facing all that because they lump you in. You know, like most people, wherever we went, they didn't know what a Baptist was. You say you're Baptist. Oh, Jehovah's Witness? Mormon? Is that what you mean? So everyone was in either your Católico or Evangelico. Católico, Catholics, we know who they are. These are Catholic nations. Evangelico, Evangelical, okay, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, da-da-da-da-da, everyone. Pentecostal, Assembly of God, Brethren, Baptists, who are Baptists? I've never heard of, well, John, ever hear of John? Oh, John the Baptist, yeah, I heard of him. But then you had over here, John the Baptist Catholic Church. Juan Bautista Católico. It's like, that's a little confusion. They had that name, I'm telling you. What I'm getting at, can you see, brethren? If you're not growing in the Lord, man, you're going to get burned out. You're going to get completely discontented, depressed, and probably leave the field. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, a constant filling of God and the Spirit unto all patience. Listen, I realize that you have a difficult time going to see the doctor. You have a difficult time driving in this, Sister Irene, driving into the center of Houston. But it's nothing like foreign countries. The lines. You ever go to vote here? Stand in line? That's like everything you do in a foreign country. That's how long the line is. to pay your bills, to go get your license, to, you know, go to the doctor. You can't say, well, bless God, I'm an American, I'm going up front. We don't do it that way in America. Let me get up there. I'll show them. You'll be like, they will never help you ever again. They'll make sure they lose your paperwork. You try to pull that. There's some things I've learned the hard way, man. I'm talking by experience. You know, I learned, and you know, it's not something that you fake, but if you go up there with a smile and you're friendly and you want to help them, and they'll go out of their way to help you get something done. And that is a blessing when that happens, and it does happen. I've seen God through prayer change people right before my eyes, especially when there was a lot of intercession prayer. And it was like releasing, you know, a container with Bibles in it and tracts. And, you know, you could go to the port and make it's an impossible situation. You've been there for days. Nothing's happening. And finally, you get in the office. And the guy's like, well, and then you're praying. Everyone else praying. He's like, okay, here you go. Whoa, praise God, you know. And God has done things like that. Then giving thanks. All right? How are you going to live? All right? How these missionaries, some of you are following the rallies, living over in the bush. You're going to be thankful. You don't have this. You don't have that. You're not used to this. You're not used to that. You're still going to give thanks unto God? Amen? You see how the devil can turn every one of these things into a discouragement and stress and just like, hey, this isn't worth it. Especially when you have people working against you or evil people and you're trying to love on them and win them to Christ. I think about some of these missionaries, we've gone through this, that, all right, yeah, we have good support. And then the next year, the dollar is weak and you lose 50% of your support without losing, you know, same support. It just lost 50% of its value. Now what are you going to do? These are real things that missionaries go through that we need to know, that we need to pray about, that we need to learn about. Then last of all, but not least of all, communication support. Now, aren't you thankful? Go to Philippians 2:19. It says this. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul was writing a letter to the Philippian church. And he said some nice things about them in chapter 1. But he's telling them, amen, about his life. Brethren, we know that Paul understood the importance of communicating through letters. Hence, the New Testament. Thank God for letters. Communication. And it was divine, you know, God, the Holy Spirit, through Paul. But he wrote over to Timothy. Remember, like, he's preaching about Timothy, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and he says, oh, Timothy, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments, amen. He writes to Philemon about preparing He says in verse 22, but withal, prepare for me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Prepare a lodging place. Prepare the guest room. I'm coming by. How about in Romans 16? 41 people mentioned there in Romans 16 that Paul wrote to and encouraged. So you say, well, what do I write? Brethren, you need to write missionaries. Well, what do I write them? Share how God's working in your life. Ask questions of concern and interest about the missionary and their family, their ministry. Ask for prayer requests. What can I pray for you? Share how you are praying for them. Have your children write their children. Share edifying church news. What is God doing in our church? These are things that we ought to be writing to our missionaries, communicating to them. And today, we can add this, brethren. Communicate by phone. I could right now, if I wanted to, communicate directly with missionaries right here in a matter of seconds. What do we use this for? We know that we can use WhatsApp. I know some of you don't use that or know it, but it's what most of the world overseas uses. WhatsApp, it's free, and you can make you can text all the time, you can send videos, you can send voicemails, you can call for free right over the internet. Talk on the phone with them. Facebook, you can do messenger calls, video calls. You can use Skype, what we use Skype, Messenger. Get them calling ready. And you can use FaceTime, iPhone to iPhone, right over the internet. And I realize we don't think about it, but yes, if Paul had an iPhone back then, he would use it to communicate? Yes, he would. And he'd be communicating about the work, about the church work, about what's going on in the ministry. Pray for this. Let me pray for you. What's your prayer request? He'd be communicating. The work of God hasn't changed. And then, of course, communicate by photos. Some of you get videos and photos of missionaries, and you're like, wow, that's cool. You know, you're seeing them driving and bumping here and there and go at the waterfalls and water's going all over them. Or they're sitting around with a bunch of people singing in a language you've never heard before. You know what I mean? Brethren, there is so much more we can do for missions. And I believe it's biblical. I mean, if I could develop every one of these points, I can go further. I can show you more verses. But I hope this is sufficient enough tonight. Kind of touch on all these areas of support. Amen? Can you agree with me that supporting missionaries involves more than sending a monthly offering? Amen? And we've learned of some areas. Thankfully, we are growing in these areas, and we are trying to practice them. As a church, we learn about prayer support, amen? We also learn about fellowship support. I'd love to have a bigger budget in missions. I'd love to take mission trips. I'd like to take some of you with me to the mission field and see the work of God and get out there and hand out tracts and try to help people. And help the missionary. God one day can do that at Heritage Baptist Church. So, we understand that we could fellowship. We could also communicate better, amen? Communication support. and be more involved in prayer, more involved in communication and fellowship. Now, the only way some of us are going to know that fellowship is when the missionaries come here. Why do we do what we do? Well, you say, Pastor, it's so hard to prepare the meal and bring it to the church, serve it to the missionaries. Well, I want you to come and sit down with the missionaries and them get to know you personally. And you to know them personally. That's what that's about. So that you could fellowship and get to know each other. See? Because while they're here, you can fellowship with them. And the only way to fellowship is spend time together. Amen? If they're up here preaching, showing slides, and then they go out and everyone's around them and saying goodbye, did you have time to fellowship? No. But sitting around the table, you have time to fellowship and get to know them. So let's practice this this week. And then while they're here, try to connect with them. Find out if they have a Facebook page you can follow. Sign up for it. Find out what their WhatsApp number is. I'm not saying they're going to give it to everyone, but, you know, do your best. Maybe that's God connects you with them and they connect with you and they're like, yeah, please, you know, write me some time. And I'll let the Spirit of God lead and all that. But know that you should reach out to them and try to follow them and then learn a little more about what you can pray for. And obviously as a church, brethren, we, with the Skype calls, amen, that's communication, right? We're trying to let them know. I know some of them are uncomfortable, you know, calling in here. But I always try to assure them, brother, you know, we really think this is important. We want to see you face to face. Some of the people haven't even met you in years. They haven't seen you. You haven't been able to come by. Now you can talk directly to the people and they can see you. That's communication. Amen? Face to face. And then praying for their needs right there in the middle of the service. Stand up. Pray for that. Read the letter. Pray for these needs. We need to pray more. So I think we've learned of what kind of support, but now we come down to what kind of support are you giving? Amen? Make it personal. What have I really been involved in these areas? Or am I just happy with saying, Pastor, I'm faithful, giving my faith promise? And now we've learned. It's not enough just to give faith promise. It's good. It's a sacrifice acceptable unto God, a sweet-smelling odor. Amen. Praise God. But there's more we can do. Let's do more. Amen. Will you stand with me, every head bowed, every eye closed? Make